This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Hello and welcome to Calling Scotland, a new podcast dedicated to Scottish politics, arts and environment. How we got here, how we are now, where we're going, and looking at the effects on the Scottish people from the former to the opportunities of the latter. Now my name is Dr. Joe Murray, so who am I? Well, for my sins, I was for around 20 years an engineer in the mechanical construction industries here in Scotland, mainly the petrochemical industry. I also worked on occasion in the Clydeside shipyards. In later life, I've been a published and performance poet, edited a literary magazine, and some other publications. I worked in community development, in adult education, and I ran my own publishing business before going to university and eventually attaining a PhD. I am now an ecologist, environmental scientist, and I taught for some years in Glasgow Caledonian University. I have quite a varied background. I also declared myself to you as an avid supporter of Scottish independence. In these podcasts, we hope to bring you interviews with people relevant in their field, politicians, writers, artists, musicians, and discuss ecology and local and global environmental issues. Not all at once. A few seconds of introductory music there was from a rehearsal in 1991 of Eurydice Women's Choir. The song is called Ella's Song. It was recorded on an old handheld cassette player, so apologies for the sound quality on that, but I felt it was worth bringing this up. Now, Eurydice is a group of wonderful women fronted on many occasions in the 1990s by the very excellent Gerdina McCulloch, one of the finest singers I have ever had the pleasure to meet and come to know. Many of the women you heard singing are now what is collectively known as WASPI women. These are women who have been unfairly treated by both Tory and Labour governments since the mid-1990s. So let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at the history of it. In 1995, the government proposed to increase the pension age for women to 65 years in parity with men. However, most women were not apprised of this until 2011, nearly 16 years after the decision had been made, and just before a great many of them were about to retire. Now, as you'd imagine, this became a huge problem for many women born in the 1950s when it was made known to them that their retirement age had risen with so little time to prepare for those extra years. They are now known collectively as WASPI women, Women Against State Pension Inequality. We are told the reasons behind the changes are economic, as people are living longer. And no one argues with this logic, only that the delivery of the policy is extremely poor. It must be remembered that in 1993, then-Chancellor Norman Lamont decreased ACT Act, and that's the ability of pension funds to reclaim tax paid. He reduced this by 5%, and that removed over £1 billion a year from the UK pension fund into the Treasury. In 2007, Gordon Brown reduced ACT by a further 20% to zero, thereby removing £5.4 billion per annum from pensions funds into the Treasury. So lots of money was taken out of the pension fund, and quite a bit of it has been going into the Treasury ever since. Now this means the Treasury has been receiving almost £7 billion a year from pension funds. In addition, it now saves £5.1 billion per annum by increasing the working life of 1950s women by up to 6 years beyond what they had expected all of their working lives and what they had paid for, what had been agreed and what they had paid for. Now this money is theirs, it's not the government's, it's their money, they paid it in. In effect, the Treasury is wealthier now by around £11 or £12 billion a year from the UK pension fund. Again, not counting the tens of billions removed from workplace pensions by other means. In addition to this, pensions were reclassed as taxable earnings, so the Treasury is not losing at all by this. The UK pension fund was not created to make the Treasury wealthier. WASPI women in particular have been discriminated against all of their lives. They are now being discriminated further by this and preceding governments. Now, most of these women agree that over time reaching parity with men in pension age is important. It should be remembered that the vast majority of women, WASPI or otherwise, have never had parity with men throughout their working lives. And it's important to remember that. Most of these women would have been in their mid-20s when the equal pay policy became law. They were in their mid-30s when this was amended to equal pay for work of equal value. These have never been honoured for the vast majority of women, yet it's demanded that they must now accept being seriously disadvantaged once again financially, physically, psychologically, in order to reach parity or equality with men regarding pension age. Furthermore, I remember when employers encouraged young women to go into the wee stamp, as it saved them a few pennies extra every week. It saved the employers far more money than that, I can tell you. And all this was well and good and until it became time for these women to retire and they realised they'd been sold a pup. Just another injustice added to those created by successive governments. Unfairness piled upon unfairness. The lack of knowledge about the forthcoming changes has seen many women who expected their rightful pension at a specific time left without work or their pension and having to rely on state benefits. Their pension is not a benefit. It's theirs by right. They paid into it all their lives. It's not a benefit. It should never be seen as a benefit. Added to everything else, the benefit system can be difficult and frustrating to navigate for people who might never have used it before. It's a system that can be very unforgiving to those ignorant of its regulations. And with universal credit now being rolled out, even the people tasked with delivering benefits don't appear to know what they're doing. It's a system designed to make applicants fail. And I work with applicants who have been made to fail, so I'm talking about this firsthand. When complaining to the DWP about this pension scheme, women are asked some questions about how they may be suffering financially and what they would have done had they known or had they been told earlier about the increases to their retirement age. It's spurious to ask anyone what they might have done if they'd known of a change earlier. How they had to alter their plans due to inadequate notification. The fact is, WASPI women have lost a lot of money. Money that was theirs, not the government's money. Many of these women will lose £50,000 or more because of this. And no matter how many years longer they work, their already meagre pensions will not increase. They do not benefit from this at all. This is a complete and utter disbenefit. So it's actually none of the DWP's business what anyone would have done with their pension, their own money. The government are simply keepers and protectors of it. That successive governments have failed in their duties is not the fault of WASPI women, or anyone else for that matter. It's the fault of successive, incompetent chancellors of the Exchequer. By asking these questions, it appears that the DWP attempts to reduce what is an entitlement for all to a means-tested benefit. For everyone's sake, this must never be allowed to happen. It should be understood that most women do not disagree with the idea of equality over time of a raise to their retirement age. But for most, it's a fair idea delivered in an extremely unfair fashion. Women are rightly angered at the lack of clarity and information that left them unprepared for this change. Added to this, the 2011 and 2014 amendments to the Pension Act disadvantaged many women further. Okay, the government gave $1.1 billion to ensure that no one would be disadvantaged for more than 18 months. I have to tell you, don't listen to that drivel. This 18 months that they speak of is over and above the extra years already added to their 45 years of work, the end date of which has now risen from 60 years to beyond their 66th birthday in many cases. My partner is over a year younger than me and I'll retire with an added 6 months on my retirement age over a year before her. And for more than 14 years since this was put into policy, she and others were never told about it. So how can this be equality? How can this be fair? And incidentally, before we all rush to blame the Tories for all of this, though they're mostly to blame, of the 16 years this was kept from women, 14 of them were during the years Labour were in government. We need to remember that. This all flies in the face of what our government is actually for. The care and protection of the social, economic and environmental welfare of the country and its citizens. All of them. They are not doing that. Not in this case and not in many other cases either. WASPI women's mothers, aunts and even grannies had been lorry drivers, bus drivers during the war. That's the Second World War. They had been engineers working heavy machinery, welders, plumbers, mechanics. They even flew new military aeroplanes into war zones. They did a fine job of it till the war ended and they were paid off and they weren't given to returning soldiers. Women were once again restricted to the jobs they were allowed to do. There are women among them who may never have worked for an employer, but have contributed to the socio-economic welfare of this country by caring for and rearing new generations, and caring for the older generations. This is work that saved the country many billions of pounds in social care over many decades. The skills they developed were developed over a lifetime, but they're not valued on a commercial basis. Nevertheless, these skills continue to be of extreme value to the welfare of the nation and must be seen for the socio-economic benefits that they bring. Now, to some extent, it has been said that previously the 5 years less of a pension age for women was a nod towards acknowledging the work that they did outside and alongside the jobs market. And yet still, most women are not complaining about the removal of these 5 years, only of the unnecessary hardship and loss the poor and speeded up rollout of this policy is causing them. Economically, if those 2 extra years had not been brought forward, £10 billion from the £24 billion the government grabs back from the pension fund in the same period is all it would have cost them. The government could still have been around about £14 billion to the good over the period. There have been 4 non-binding votes in Parliament. As with the cancelled Scottish shipyard orders, if the 13 Scottish Tory MPs sided with Waspy women and Clydeside workers, both these cases would have already been won. Think about that. These women are our wives. They were partners, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, aunts and daughters. They deserve to be treated fairly. The Pension Act is not treating them fairly. But it must be made to do so. So I would ask that all Scots, male and female, protest this injustice. For if a government can steal what amounts to, over the period, £190 billion from 3.8 million of our women and get away with it, who or what will be next? I would ask young women in particular to support their mothers, aunts, grannies in this, because to win this case, and it is winnable, could end gender discrimination in the workplace forever. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now, and I'll leave you for now with the thoughts of Scotland being a brilliant success story waiting to happen, to the sound of Eurydice telling us that freedom is coming. Till next time, alapa, gubra.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.